Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novick. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Taniyot Perek Gimel. The last perek listed a dozen reasons to decree a Tanit Tzibur, but there is one specific affliction, namely drought, which was most common and most feared, and for which Halacha establishes an elaborate framework of fast days. Our perek describes the series of Taniyot Geshem, which were decreed in Eretz Yisrael when the opening weeks of the rainy season passed by with no rain. These Taniyot were observed in groups of three or seven, and increased in severity and in scope as the winter went on and the skies remained dry. The perek ends by addressing the different manner in which Taniyot, for lack of rain, would be observed in Chutz Laretz. Halacha Aleph. Hare shelo yardu lahem gshamim kol ikar mitchilat yemot hagshamim, im higiyah 17 b'mar cheshvan, v'lo yardu gshamim, matchilin tamrei chachamim bilvad lit'anot sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, v'chol ha'talmidim ru'uyin l'kach. The rainy season begins right after Sukkot, when we begin to say Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem in the Amidah, even though we wait until the 7th of Mar Cheshvan to ask for rain by adding the words V'tein Tal Matar Livracha. If no rain falls before the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, about 3.5 weeks after the end of Sukkot, then Talmidei Chachamim fast a series of 3 days, Monday, Thursday, Monday. These are not considered communal fasts, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that each has the status of a Tanit Yachid. Recall from Perek Aleph that this means that they require acceptance in advance, and if one of the 3 days coincides with Rosh Chodesh Kislev, then the fast is not observed on that day. Any Talmid may participate in this fast, meaning any serious student of Torah, even one who is not expert enough in Halacha to answer any question about the topic he is learning. Halacha Bet. Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev, v'lo yardu gshamim, beitin gozrin shalosh taniyot al tzibur, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, umutarim behen lechov v'lishtot balayla, ve'ein anshei mishmar mit'aninim ahem, mipnei shehen oskin bavoda, v'chol ha'am nichnasin lebatei knesiyot umitpalim v'zoakim umitchananim, kederech she'osin b'chol ha'taniyot. If Rosh Chodesh Kislev passed and there was still no rain, Beitin would decree 3 Taniyot Tzibur on the entire community, again Monday, Thursday, Monday. These 3 fasts are known as the Shalosh HaRishonot. The fast itself is only during the daytime, and one may eat the night before. The people would gather in the Batei Knesset to cry out to Hashem in accordance with the usual activities on a Tanit Tzibur. Regarding the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash, each week, a different group of Kohanim was in charge of the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash, typically one extended family, called the Anshei Mishmar. The Mishmar working each week was split into 7 Batei Av, smaller family units, each of whom would be responsible for the Avodah on one day of that week. But the remaining Anshei Mishmar from the other Batei Av needed to be available to assist if necessary. Since these first 3 communal fasts, the Shalosh HaRishonot, are relatively lenient, the entire Mishmar of that week would not participate in them in order to have full strength to help with the Avoda whenever this proved necessary. Halacha Gimel. Avru elu v'lo nanu, beit din gozrin shalosh taniyot acherot ala tzibur, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, uv'shalosh elu ochlin v'shotin mibaod yom, kemo she'osin b'tzom kippur, v'anshei mishmar mit'anin mikzat hayom v'lo mashlimin, v'anshei beit av, v'hem ha'oskim b'avoda b'oto ha'yom, lo yu mit'anin kol ikar. V'chol ta'anit sh'ochlin ba mib'od yom, im achal ufasak, v'gamar sh'lo lechol, eino chozer v'ochel, af al pi sh'yei shahut b'yom. If there were still no rain after these 3 fasts, Beit Din would decree 3 additional taniyot tzibur, called the shalosh ha'emtza'iyot, which were more stringent than the first 3. The timing of these is subject to a debate in the Mishnah Masechet Tanit. We learned in Perek Aleph that a series of Taniyot Tzibur must begin on a Monday, not Thursday, to avoid price gouging by unscrupulous merchants. The first 3 Taniyot Tzibur ended on a Monday. Are these next 3, the Shalosh HaEmtzaiyot, considered part of the same series and can begin that Thursday? Or do they constitute a new series which must wait until the following Monday? The Tanakhama says they start on Thursday, and Rabbi Yossi believes they must wait until Monday. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayot accepts the opinion of the Tanakhama, And some printed versions of the text of our halacha say that these fasts are Thursday, Monday, Thursday. But in most printed versions, the text of our halacha is Monday, Thursday, Monday, as I read, indicating that the Rambam changed his mind and ultimately accepted the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. How are these Taniyot Tzibur more stringent than the first three? This halacha lists two ways, and possibly a third, depending again on different versions of the printed text in the Rambam. First, these fasts begin from the previous night, and one must finish eating by sundown, like before Yom Kippur. The Rambam adds that if one finishes before then and resolves not to eat any more before the fast, then he may not eat any more even before sundown. Second, in the Beit HaMikdash, the Anshei Mishmar who aren't part of the Beit Av, responsible for the Avodah on that day, would begin the fast, though they were not required to complete it. And the Beit Av responsible for the Avodah on that day would not fast at all. A third difference between the Shalosh HaRishonot and the Shalosh HaEmtzayot appears in some printed versions, but we'll discuss it when we get to Halacha He. First, Halacha Dalid lists several more differences between the Shalosh Rishonot and the Shalosh HaEmtzayot, all of which have a common denominator. B'Shalosh Taniyot Elu, Kol Ha'am Asurin Basiat Malacha, Dayom Umutarin Balayla, Vasurin Berchitzat Kol Aguf Bechamin, Ava Panav Yadav Raglav Mutar, Lefichach Noalin Et Hamer Chatzaot, Vasurin Besicha, Vim Lahavir Et Azuama, Mutar, Vasurin B'Tashmishamita, Uvinilat HaSandal Ba'ir, Ava Baderech Mutar Din Ol, Umitpalin Bevatei Knesiot, Vezoakin Umitchanin Kishara Taniyot. The people may not do malacha on these three taniyot tzibur, but may do malacha at night. This is not a sweeping iser malacha, like on Shabbat or Yom Kippur, but rather an iser to engage in one's profession as if it were a regular day. The four additional inuyim of Yom Kippur apply here as well. Washing, rechitza, smearing oil on the body, sicha, marital relations, tashmish hamita, and wearing shoes, nilat hasandal. But there are significant differences between the Shalosh HaEmtzayot and Yom Kippur, as we can see by comparing our halacha to the end of Hilchot Shvitat Asor. On Yom Kippur, one may not wash even one limb, even in cold water. On these Taniyot, one may wash his face, hands, and feet even in warm water, just not his entire body. And therefore, the bathhouses will be closed on the Shalosh HaEmtzayot. The Shulchan Aruch adds that one may wash his entire body in cold water. On Yom Kippur, one may not smear oil on his body, even if this isn't done for pleasure. Sicha she'ina shel ta'anug. On the Shalosh Emtzayot, sicha is permitted for the non-pleasure purpose of removing filth, zuhama. On Yom Kippur, nilat ha-sandal is only permitted to protect one's feet from bites. On these taniyot, one may wear regular shoes while walking on the road, just not within the city. As on the Shalosh HaRishonot, on these fasts, too, the people would spend their days in the Beit Knesset, crying out to Hashem in supplication for rain. Halacha hei, avru elu v'lo ananu, beitin gozrin sheva taniyot achirot ala tzibur, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, v'chamishi v'sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Uve'elu ha-sheva bilvad, ubarot u'minikot mit'anot. Aval b'sha'ar ha-taniyot, ein ubarot u'minikot mit'anot. Va'af avi she'enan mit'anot, ein ma'angin atzman b'tafnukin. Ela ochlot v'shotot k'dei kiyum ha-valad. To review the fast days which we've seen until now. Three taniyot yachid, which only tanrei chachamim would undertake. And then six taniyot tzibur, consisting of the shalosh ha-rishonot, which are relatively lenient, and the Shalosh HaEmtzayot, which were more stringent. If after all six of these, there is still no rain, the next stage consists of seven Taniyot Tzibur, called the Sheva HaAcharonot. These would start on Monday according to everyone, because even for the Tanakama, who felt that a series following another series can start on Thursday, the Emtzayot started on Thursday and ended the following Thursday, so the next potential fast day is a Monday. In the more common printed version which I read, the Rambam tells us of a major stringency of these seven compared to the first six. Pregnant and nursing women would fast. In the first six, the Rambam says here, they would not fast, but also were not permitted to indulge themselves. They were only permitted to eat as much as necessary to maintain the viability of the fetus, or the health of the baby. This is the version of our text which the Magen Mishnah had. But in some printed versions of the Rambam, Halacha Gimel has some extra words which say that pregnant and nursing women fast on the Shalosh HaEmtzayot,
And our halacha says that they do not fast on the Sheva Achronot. The Shulchan Aruch seems to have had this text, as this is exactly his psak as well. The different conclusions stem from different understandings of a Gemara, which says that pregnant and nursing women fast on one of these sets of fast and not the other, but is ambiguous about which is which. The rationale of the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the less common gears of the Rambam is that even though in general, as we'll see in Halachot Vav and Zayin, the Sheva Achronot are more stringent than the Shalosh Emtzayot, it is too much to demand of pregnant and nursing women to fast 7 days over the course of 3 weeks. Therefore, they fast on the Shalosh Emtzayot, which are stringent fast days too, but not more than that. An advantage of the alternative gears of the Rambam over the more common one is that the last lines of our halacha, which speak about eating only what is necessary for the fetus or the baby, refer in the alternative girsa to the Sheva Achronot themselves, the topic of this halacha, because for that girsa, they can eat on the Sheva Achronot. Unlike in the girsa I read, in which these lines refer to the 6 earlier Taniyot Tzibur. It seems strange that the Rambam would devote lines here to the fasts he already discussed in the previous halachot. I'm speculating, but it makes sense that even if our printed version is correct as the Rambam's final psak, the alternate girsa represents an earlier psak of the Rambam. And when he changed his mind and updated the text of the halachot, he changed the text as little as possible. So he left in our halacha the lines about eating only as much as necessary, but he changed the reference of those lines from the Sheva Achronot to the 6 earlier Taniyot Tzibur. Halacha Vav. Uv'sheva Taniyot Elu Anshei Mishmar Mit'anim U'mashlimin, V'Anshei Beit Av Mit'anim Mikzat Hayom V'lo Mashlimin, V'chol Davar Shu Asur B'Shalosh Emtzayot Asur Be'elu HaSheva Achronot. Everything forbidden on the Shalosh Emtzayot is forbidden on the Sheva Achronot as well. And aside from the matter of pregnant and nursing women, subject to the different girsot we just saw, how are the Sheva Achronot more stringent than the Shalosh Emtzayot? In the Sheva Achronot, even the Beit Av responsible for the Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash that day must begin the fast, though they don't need to complete it. The other Anshei Mishmar must complete each fast of the Sheva Achronot. Halacha Zayin. Viterot elu, shebehen bilvad matri'im umipalim berchov ha'ir, umoridin zakein lohochiach la'am kedei shiashuvu midarkam, umosifin sheish brachot betfilat shacharit uvitfilat mincha, v'nimtzu umipalim arba ve'esrim brachot, v'noalin et hachanuyot, uv'sheini matin le'et erev upotchin et hachanuyot, aval b'chamishi potchin kol hayom mipnei kvod ha'shabbat, v'im yesh lachanut shnei ptachim, poteach echad v'noel echad, v'im yesh lachanut itztabal lefanea, Potech kidarko b'chamishi ve'eino choshesh. The main features which are unique to the Sheva Achronot are not their Isurim, which are mostly like those of the Shalosh Emtzayot, with at most 2 distinctions from Halachot Hei and Vav, but rather the active manner in which the Tanit was practiced. Prayers and blowing the Chatzotzrot would take place not in separate Batei Knesset, but with mass participation in the main square of the city. One of these Zekenim would preach to the people and urge them to abandon their sins. 6 brachot would be added to the Amidah of Shacharit and Amincha. We'll learn more details about the speech of the Zaken and about the extra brachot in the next parak. On Monday fasts, the stores would be closed throughout the day and open toward evening by moving the doors apart only slightly, not all the way like on usual day. On Thursday fasts, the stores would be open all day, so people could buy food and clothing for Shabbat. But even this would be done in a limited manner when possible. If the store has 2 entrances, then only one would be opened, while the other remained closed. Halacha Chet. Avru elu v'lo nanu, matin masa umatan, uvinyan shel simcha kegon tziur v'chiyur, uvintia shel simcha kegon minei hadas minei aholim, umatin be'erusin uvinisuin, Ela im kein lo kiyem mitzvah piriyah v'rivya. V'chol mi shekiyem mitzvah piriyah v'rivya, asur lo l'shamesh mitato b'mei ra'avon. U'matin b'sheilat shalom bein adam l'chavero. V'tamarei chachamim lo yishalu shalom, kinzufin v'chimnudin l'makom. V'am ha'aretz sh'natan lehen shalom, machzirin lo b'safa rafa v'choved rosh. If there was still no rain even after the Sheva Achronot, there would be no more Taniyot Tzibur, though Talmidei Chachamim would continue to fast, as we'll see in Halacha Tet. But everyone would be required to adopt practices which reflect a degree of mourning and abstention from Simcha, and to continue these practices until the rains come. These include, first, cutting back on business, masa umatan. We'll come back to this in a moment. Second, refraining from building, decorating, or planting anything which reflects joy or a sense of luxury. One may only build and plant what is required for his basic needs and sustenance, or in order to make a living. It's not clear in the text of the Rambam if the first appearance of the words shel simcha refer only to forbidden building, or if they are also meant to describe the forbidden type of masa umatan mentioned just before. Meaning, is masa umatan permitted if it has nothing to do with simcha, but just with making a living? The Lech HaMishnah understands from the Rambam that it is permitted, and this is the lenient psak of the Magen Avram. The third practice was to limit, mima'et, getting married. It sounds like this isn't entirely prohibited, but should be delayed when this can be done without resulting in any type of loss. One who has no children is permitted to marry so that he can fulfill the mitzvah of procreation, piriyah v'riviyah. One who has fulfilled this mitzvah is not only discouraged from marrying, he also may not engage in marital relations during a time of drought or famine. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, but notes that it doesn't apply on the Leil Tevilah, the night that one's wife uses the mikvah. Finally, the last practice during this time period, after the Sheva Achronot and before the first rain, is to limit friendly greetings and social interactions. A Talmid Chacham would not greet anyone at all, and would act like one who has been rebuked and ostracized by Hashem. If an Am Haaretz greets a Talmid Chacham, he would respond in a low voice and a serious manner, in order not to insult the Am Haaretz, and at the same time to convey the message that this is not a time for friendly greetings. Halacha Tet. Talmidei Chachamim chozrin levadan umitanin chamishi v'sheni v'chamishi ad sheyitze nisan shel tkufa. Aval lo atzibur, she'ein gozrin al atzibur b'shvil gshamim shelo yardu yater mishlosh esrei taniyot elu. Kesh'mitanin hayichidin ad sheyitze nisan mutarin lachol balayla umutarin b'asiyat melacha uvirkitza v'sicha v'tashmish unilat hasandal kesh'ar kol ataniyot umafsikin rashei chodashim ulefurim. During this time, Talmid Chachamim would continue to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, beginning with a Thursday after the last of the Sheva Achronot, which was a Monday, either until it rained or until the end of Nisan Shel Tkufa. We'll define that shortly. These fasts are Taniyot Yachid, which require acceptance in advance and have the same parameters as the Shalosh HaRishonot. Eating is permitted at night. The four Inuyim, aside from eating and drinking, are permitted entirely. And if a fast coincided with Rosh Chodesh or Purim, it would not be observed. Note that the Rambam doesn't mention Chanukah here, because Chanukah is always earlier, during the Shalosh Emtzayot or the Sheva Achronot. Continuing in Halacha Tet, Yatsa Nisan Shel Tkufa, V'hu Cheshetagia HaShemesh, L'Tchilat Mazal Shor, Ein Mitanin, She'ein HaGshamim Mizman Ze, Ela Siman Klala, Ho'il V'lo Yardu Kol Ikar Mitchilat HaShana. The endpoint of Nisan Shel Tkufa does not refer to the moment of Tkufa Nisan, when the sun is at the start of Mazal Taleh, as we learned in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, but rather about a month later, when it is at the start of Mazal Shor. If no rain has fallen by this point, then any rain from this point on would be a curse, a siman klala, and can only hurt the crops. Therefore, the Talmid Chachamim cease to fast. The words of the Rambam imply that if there is rain during the winter, then even rain which falls more than a month after Tkufa Nisan is not considered a siman klala. The Yerushalmi indeed says this, and adds that this type of rain continues to be a siman bracha. Halacha Yud. B'me dvarim amurim, b'eretz Yisrael v'chol ha'domela, aval mekamot she'onat ha'gshamim shelehen, kodem shivasar b'mar cheshvan, o achar zman ze, kishi yagia zmanam, v'lo yardu gshamim, יחידים מתענים שני וחמישי ושני ומפסיקים בראשי חודשים וחנוכה ופורים ושוהין אחרי כן כמו שבעה ימים. אם לא ירדו גשמים, בית דין גוזרין על הציבור 13 תניות על הסדר שאמרנו. The entire description in this perek refers to the taniot which would be decreed in Eretz Yisrael or in a place with a similar rainy season. What should be done elsewhere? Based on the rainy season in that location, we determine what date corresponds to the timing of the 17th of Mar Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, that is, enough time into the season that people begin to worry if no rain has fallen. If there is no rain by that date, then individuals who wish to assume the burden should fast Monday, Thursday, Monday, though not if one of these coincides with Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. We then wait until the following Monday, Just as in Eretz Yisrael, there is no Tanit between the last Monday fasted by the Talmid Chachamim and the first fast of the Shalosh Rishonot the following Monday. At which point, if there is no rain, Beit Din decrees Taniyot Tzibur following the same timing of the 13 described in this parak, a set of 3, then another set of 3, and finally a set of 7. But these Taniyot are not exactly like the ones in Eretz Yisrael that we just learnt about, as Halacha Yud Aleph explains. Kol Tanit shegozrin hatzibur b'chutz la'aretz ochlim ba balayla v'dina k'din shar taniyot she'en gozrin hatzibur tanit ke'en som kippur ela be'eretz Yisrael bilvad uviglal matar uvotan eser taniyot she'en shalosh emtzayot v'sheva achronot. Every tanit zibur in chutz la'aretz is of the weaker type, like the shalosh harishonot, eating at night and no inuyim other than fasting. Only in Eretz Yisrael does Beit Din have permission to decree a stringent Tanit Tzibur that is similar in practice to Yom Kippur, and they may only do so in case of drought, as described in this parak. The Magen Mishnah quotes the Ramban, who disputes the last point, and believes that Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael may decree a stringent Tanit Tzibur even for the other afflictions listed in Parak Bet, like plague, diseased crops, locusts, and foreign armies. An explanation of the first part of this halacha, that a Beit Din in Chutz La'aretz never has the authority to decree a stringent Tanit, the Ramban explains that really only the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71 judges, has the power to decree a Yom Kippur-like Tanit Tzibur on the community. Any Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael which does so acts on his authority, while a Beit Din in Chutz La'aretz can only act on their own authority and therefore may decree only a weaker form of Tanit Tzibur. This reason explains why nowadays, even in Eretz Yisrael, no Beit Din may decree a stringent Tanit Tzibur, as we do not have a Nasi or a Sanhedrin HaGadol. It is less clear why nowadays we do not practice, in time of communal distress, Taniyot Tzibur of the weak type, which do not require a Nasi and may be decreed by any Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. Even in a situation of severe drought in Eretz Yisrael, the chief rabbinate will ask people to add a special request for rain in the bracha of Shema Koleinu in the Amidah, to say Tehillim at the end of the Tefillah, and in extreme cases, they may organize a special assembly at the Kotel to pray for rain. Broadly speaking, Poskim point to 3 reasons why we do not decree Taniyot Tzibur nowadays. The first 2 apply to Tanit Tzibur in general, and the 3rd specifically to the case of drought. First, even for Beit Din to decree a Tanit Tzibur of the weaker type, which may be done in Chutz La'aretz and without a Nasi, requires a certain degree of authority and acceptance on the part of the Tzibur. Religious bodies like Beit Din simply don't have nowadays the kind of authority they used to have, even on a local level. Second, fasting in general does not have in the modern world the meaning that it used to have in the past. In the past, hunger was a much more conceivable reality than it is now, when the only food you have access to is the food grown locally that can be stored without refrigeration. It is easy to be reminded by fasting that a small disruption in the normal patterns of life can really cause you to go hungry. We live in a world of abundance, Baruch Hashem, where plenty of food is available in our refrigerators, our pantries, and our supermarkets. Even if there were a local disruption, food can be imported from all corners of the world. In this reality, it is harder for a fast to make us think about how much we depend on Hashem's mercy for our sustenance, though we should certainly aim to focus on this. Many people spend the day instead thinking about all the food stored in their homes which awaits them when the fast ends. This changed reality relates also to the 3rd reason that we don't have Taniyot Tzibur nowadays, specifically regarding drought. Because of the food insecurity which I just described, drought really used to be a matter of life and death. If there was not enough rain during the winter and the crops did not grow properly, people would die as a result. Nowadays, if Eretz Yisrael suffers a terrible drought, it is unquestionably a terrible blow for the farming industry, and as a result for the economy as a whole. But it's unlikely that anyone will die as a direct result of water or food shortage caused by a bad winter. There are surely secondary results when the economy suffers, quality of life is lower, and ultimately this may lead to more deaths. But this is true of other shocks to the economy as well, and we certainly don't fast in every such scenario. This does not mean that we should take lightly a situation of drought. The Torah makes it clear that Hashem provides rain when we keep mitzvot properly and withholds it when we do not, as we say twice every day in the paragraph of Ahayim Shamoa. Rather, we should take this changed reality as a challenge. Even in the modern world, where rain and the lack of it don't have the same life or death import that was once the case, and therefore we don't have taniot tzibur in cases of drought, we must still recognize that Hashem sends us an important message about ourselves when He withholds rain. We must take care to internalize that message so that Hashem doesn't need to send it again in a more painful form. As the Rambam wrote in Perek Aleph, we must avoid being guilty of v'halachtem imi bekeri, in order to prevent a situation of v'halachti imachem b'chamat keri.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's Perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next Perek.